Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
Thank you so much. Y'all have the cutest kids ever. I was like, oh gosh, don't start crying now. I was actually the one who was able to interview them, and I wanted to stay back there and hang out with them. They were so cute. And the funniest thing was I had that weird microphone, you know, and they wouldn't let me keep it away from them. They would come up close. They called it all sorts of things. Somebody said, that looks like my mom's toilet bowl cleaner. I mean, they were so cute. They were so precious. So good job, Mom. Good job, moms. As you know, I am not usually the one that's up here speaking. There's that cute guy that was up here a minute ago. He is typically the one up here. And after these last few weeks, I have to tell you, I am so thankful for his calling. And it is an amazing, it's a difficult job. I've lived it these last few weeks, and I'm so thankful because it's changing my life, and it was changing some of yours. And I'm just so thankful for his calling in here. And all that said, you can probably tell, I am not a professional speaker. I don't do this often. Sometimes I can barely fumble through the welcome here. And so we're just going to go ahead today and talk about us having a conversation, okay? It's just going to be us. I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about what God's been teaching me as a mom. And I hope you can hear that. You can hear my heart behind it and know that if I'm not up here doing what you're used to seeing, that God has something he wants to tell you because he's shown me so much this past year. And if you're not a mom here today, I know some of you are thinking, well, you know, I'm either married without kids or I'm single or I'm the dad. Let me help you out. Okay, dads, just replace everything I say with mom. If you are single or you're married and you don't have kids, I want you to think of the one thing in your life that you love the most, but that also requires all of you, all of your time, all of your money, all of your attention. That is your replacement for child, okay? So while we're talking today, I feel like God can still use this message for you. Just replace it with that, all right? And if you're a teenager in the room today, I really hope that this message, what I'm going to talk about today, this story from my life, just gives you a little sliver of how difficult it can be to be a parent sometimes and how we really are trying our best. So we're going to jump right in with how I got up here today. And it actually started last Mother's Day. It's taken me a whole year to get the courage to come up here and share the story with you. But it all started, I'm just going to kind of move a little bit just so you can see. With this, you can't really see a lot of the words, but it was one of those charts. You know, if you've had kids in preschool or elementary school in the last, I don't know, 15 years, you've gotten one of those where they talk to you, where they list, like, how old you are, and they say silly things like 8, and you're like, yes! Or if they're really close but get off by, like, a decade, it's even better. You're like, ooh, I'm 22. That's awesome, you know? But my middle son, John, filled this out. His awesome preschool teacher, Chris Long, had them fill this out at school, and when he brought it home and he showed it to me, I was amazed at what he wrote. It was all the things I was trying really hard as a mom to do. And let me say this first. He was 5, and if you know our middle son, John, he is a straight shooter. Like, he's so literal. And so I knew that what he wrote down was truth to him, you know? Now, if some of you have gotten some things, you're like, my kid totally threw me under the bus. They don't, you know? It's all about who it came from, okay? John, he filled this out. If I could have said, I wish my children would say this, that's what he put. That I spent time with him. I was teaching him about God. That I was trying for us to be healthy in our life. All these little things. He talks a lot about the laundry on there. That I do that a lot, and he wished I didn't do as much. So you can tell he knows what I'm thinking about and doing most of the time. And this kind of got me thinking, it hit me right then, that moms, so kind of our little first nugget that I thought I was going to talk about today, is that our influence is important. And you know that. We know that, but we don't always think about it every day. Those mundane things, the laundry, it gets lost in there, right? We just think, oh, gosh, this again, or we're not constant, it just slips our mind that the little things we do every day matter, and it's because when you're doing those little things, you're building their trust. You're saying to them, I care about all the little details of your life, so that whenever they have a problem, they're going to come to you, and you can steer them in the right direction. So it's all about the trust. The little things we do every day, the big things we do every day, our influence, they're going to trust you. I'm like, oh gosh, that's good. Thank you. I'm so glad. I can't wait to be able to share this in a whole year. All right, I'm going to start living this out. I'm going to start trying hard. Have good examples whenever I feel like God wants me to share this with the moms at church. And so I did that. I am a typical firstborn. I started what everybody does. I got on Pinterest, and I started looking through what are the best home management systems. I need to be intentional. I need to be able to check off. I'm teaching them the right things, right? I'm making sure every day we're in God's Word, that we're praying, and we're doing all those things that you should do if you want to be intentional with your influence. That was what God showed me. I couldn't just like decide. I had to be intentional with it. I had to know ahead of time what I was going to do that day to influence my children. And when I did this, I realized God was right. I did set the tone in my house. When I did it with joy, guess what? It was something they like to do. When I did it, and I didn't have as much joy, like the laundry, is something that they know isn't something they love to do. And so I realized that my impact was so great. And I really started asking God to lead me in that. I did. To be intentional. I had to ask myself, am I being intentional with that? And I really was thinking that's what I was going to come up here and talk about today. That we don't wake up every day and just kind of decide, yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do today. Because whatever you do, they're going to catch. That we ask God to lead us in it. And I started doing that, like I said. The weight of no one else will have the kind of influence I have over my children in their life was so great. Moms, you know that? No one else is going to fill that role. No one else. You're the fountain. Kind of God showed me you're the fountain, and they get the overflow. Whatever you're taking in, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're doing, whatever you're modeling, it's going to overflow into their life, whether you want it to or not, because you know that you've seen them make that face, and you're like, well, where did they, I make that face. Well, how did they lose their temper there? How did they love their brother so sweetly there? Because they've seen that. They've seen you do that, right? So if they're the fountain, when we're the fountain, and they get the overflow, we do all this, why? Because it's worth it. It's a whole life. Some of you have 3 lives, 4 lives underneath you, a whole life, and you are an irreplaceable influence in it. And while I would love to tell you that I was going to get up here and tell you that, and we're going to be like, all right, you have 18 years, be intentional, get on Pinterest, find the right stuff, read this book, do this, because that's what I did. Again, firstborn, my husband's a firstborn too, so you can just pray for our children because they are going to need it. But in 18 years, who am I kidding? This is a lifetime gig. Ask my mom how many times I call her a week asking for help or what to do most of the time with my laundry. Can you please come help me get out of this? It's terrible. I can't keep up. So it's a lifetime gig. And if you're a mom in here helping your children raise children, they need you more than ever. So don't think this is past you. They need you because they are waking up every day thinking, I don't know what the next phase is. Moms of young children, you're like, what are they going to throw at me next? And just when you think you know what's happening, they throw you a curveball, right? Like, oh, I don't know what does that fit for? You know, I don't know how to read that language. And there is some truth to what I felt like God wanted me to talk about, that what you do with your days is what you do with your life. I mean, there's some truth to that. We don't want to overlook that. But I have to be honest that when it got ugly was when I couldn't do. When there were situations where I couldn't change them for my kids. I couldn't fix a problem. Or even little things. You mean you didn't throw them a birthday party at all? Like, no, not at all. Nothing. We have food allergies in our house. Here, son, have a popsicle. That's all you get, you know? There's just, I would feel that little twinge of, you can't keep up, you know? You're not really being influential. Just a little dig. Or, you didn't make that meal from scratch? How dare you? Do you know what you're giving your children? It's poison, you know? I read way too much about everything. I should just stop. But you're behind on everything in life. The school papers, oh my word, what are we supposed to do with all of those? All the stuff that comes out of drawers because I haven't wanted to file it away for the past 3 months. I'm a great end of the school year mom, by the way. I don't think they've turned in their homework for like 2 weeks. But anyway, so I've started to think that this place where I'm supposed to be most influential, it's one of the highest callings in my life. Should bring me so much joy to wake up and do it every day because what I'm doing, it matters and it's worth it. I only started to feel pressure. Do you feel that way sometimes, moms? I mean, I'm not sure I felt like I'd gotten ahead of the game since I found out I was pregnant with David and started worrying about everything I ate. So this pressure just started sitting on me. And until I started really looking at trying to teach other people what God wanted to know about how to be influential as a mom, I didn't even recognize it. I thought it was what was supposed to be. That's what being a parent's supposed to be like. I'm supposed to feel that pressure that I'm supposed to do it, fix it, be it all. I didn't have a lot of joy when I really stepped back and looked at it. The weight of being influential all the time, I just didn't have a lot of joy. I would snap. I would lose my temper, become unglued. Not all the time. I don't want you to think that I'm like, whoa, you know, but I would. And the biggest thing was I was a stressed out mom who wasn't enjoying this ride, this awesome thing that God gave me a gift. And it was because of some of the pressure I put on myself, but it was also just the pressure that happens. You know, some circumstances change in life. Sometimes you're trying to figure out, do I go back to work? Do I stay home? You know, do we do this school? Do we do that school? And when those things started coming in and I'm already thinking I'm behind on laundry again, God, help me. I would call out to God. I mean, I'm the pastor's wife. Hello. And you're probably waiting until I got to that point. You're like, lady, hello, where's the part where you say, God, I want you to help me? I was asking him to help me the whole time. God, please help me know what to do. And I know some of you are kind of trekking with me. You understand that. You can feel the pressure with me when I'm kind of talking about this story. And some of you, I know, just wish that laundry or the occasional sickness or trying to figure out what job to take is the pressure you feel. But I know some of you in here, and some of you are single moms, and the weight that you feel every day, it's heavy. I can't imagine it. I know some of you are trying to blend families. I know some of you are trying to be a mom to children that just came into your life. That's a lot of pressure. I know some of you have kids in here with special needs and that you don't know how you're going to give them everything they need when they wake up the next day because you don't know what the day's going to face, what you're going to face. And the pressure that comes with that is real. It's heavy. So I started wrestling with this. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in my own life, much less what do I tell moms, you know, to do with their life, what do with this calling. And I just did what I always do. I take my doubts to God, and I wish I could say that he just said, oh, this is the secret. This is it. But I had to wrestle. I had to take every time it crossed my mind, every time I was throwing laundry into the washing machine again or trying to fold it or trying to find it. I mean, like, it just disappears in our house. I don't know where it goes. But I was doing these daily tasks. God, is this it? I know this little task isn't supposed to bring me joy, but there's supposed to be joy in this somewhere. There's supposed to be. And I couldn't feel it. So guess what I did? I'd read a book about joy. And guess what it did? It just gave me more things to do so I could experience joy. I'm like, I can't do anymore, right? So keep wrestling. And I need to encourage you in this. God, if you're in a place where you're trying to take your doubts to God and wrestle with him, keep at it. Don't stop because he wants to answer your questions. So I kept doing it. I was asking God to lead me. What else can I do? What am I missing? And one day, I can't even say it was a particular circumstance, but one day, I specifically asked God the question. I said, "What am I missing?" And it was like he took my face in his hands. I love to do that to my children, don't you, when you just kiss their face? He took my face in his hands, and I could just, like, I could feel it. And he said, "You're doing the right things. You're doing a good job, moms. You're doing the right things. You're just forgetting that you're mine before you are theirs. You're forgetting I'm his before I'm theirs." And that was the peace I was missing. I was asking God to lead me. I was not letting him love me. I was not letting him replenish me. I was not letting him be the fuel. I was looking at checklists for my five-year-old to know if I was doing the right thing. And he's saying, "That is going to wear you out. That gives you a way to measure it." You know, I thought I could measure my value by what was happening around me. If I could do more, if I could be more, then I would feel more valuable as a parent. But he showed me when he said that I'm his before I'm theirs. He showed me that my value, your value, can't be measured, because he said you are worth everything to me when he died on the cross for you. Sorry. I'm going to sit back down. So, as I processed this, and I really started to pray about it and remember what God showed me that day, how he brought that full circle for me, that I can't ever forget I'm his before I'm theirs. I started really thinking, I can't be the only mom who's experienced this, right? Who's experienced this moment where they realize that the key in their parenting, they've been missing the key to that pressure, the key to the burden of raising another person, of being their everything when they're little and when they're big, is there's got to be someone else that experienced that. So, of course, I just turn to the Bible, because for me, when I know that someone experienced something 2,000 years ago, and I've experienced it today, nothing gives me more fuel than to remember this is truth. This is not just me thinking it. This is something that God's done in other people's lives, and they've recorded it, and we can look back on it. So I did that. And wouldn't you know, the one story that came to me and to God, from God's word, was when Jesus performed his first miracle, and Mary had that same encounter where she decided, where she saw that she was God's before she was her children's. So we're going to look at that story today, and I hope that as we read what Mary experienced on the day that Jesus actually performed his first miracle, that it will just it will give you some clarity and some fuel to remember this. So, all right, we're going to turn to John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, if not, it will be on the screen as usual. And we're reading this. John is actually, it's cool that he's obviously the one who wrote the book of John, because he knew Mary better than anybody else. So as we're reading this, you need to know that whenever Jesus died on the cross, he looked at John and said, "Will you take care of my mom?" And so John knew Mary better than anybody else. And he's the one recording the story, so let's kind of just read there. Verse 1, it says, 2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother and his followers were all invited to the wedding. When all the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus answered, "Dear woman," and see, we think that seems harsh, but in the Greek, it just means mother or mom. "So, mom, why come to me? My time has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And I'm going to stop there for time's sake today with our text and what we're talking about. But if you know the rest of the story, which I'm sure most of you do, Jesus does, in fact, turn water into wine. And I think the first thing we have to look at in this text is how some things never change. Occasionally, motherhood requires wine. You can't leave that out, right? Yeah. I was really, I couldn't believe when God told me that. I was like, yes, and depending on the day, depends on how much, right? Okay, so it made me feel so much better. I was like, yeah, Mary and I have in common. That's awesome. So some things, you know, never change. We need the wine. Just kidding. But this was a big deal. So they're at a wedding. Jesus is there with his mom and his friends. They run out of wine. Again, this might not be a big deal to us, but to them it was a huge deal. In that culture at that time, it meant you couldn't keep up with the Joneses. It meant you kind of, you just couldn't keep, you know, you weren't it. You weren't keeping up. You weren't doing the things you were supposed to do that everyone else was doing, just like everyone else. And it made you feel worthless. The family would feel like it reflected on them that they couldn't do. And so we find ourselves in that situation. Mary is there, and she realizes they're out of the wine. Probably a family member of Mary's because she's really freaking out about it. And so she goes to Jesus and she says, they have no more wine. And I call this part the fix-it syndrome of motherhood. We want to fix it all. Oh, look, there's a problem. Ooh, I can do that, right? We want to fix all of it, and it's good intentions. But Mary saw this and she's like, oh, no, I can't let this happen. Not on my watch. Not if it's mine. I've got to get it right. And she was worried about her identity. She was worried about what people thought of her at the time. So she goes to Jesus knowing he can fix it. Now, I don't think she necessarily went to him thinking he would perform a miracle. She obviously didn't know if that would happen or not. She just knew, you know what? I'm raising the Son of God. He can make this right, whether he puts them in their place or he makes water into wine. I don't care what it is. It's going to happen. So she says to him, we're out of wine. And Jesus responds, why are you coming to me? And I believe he says that in a very loving way. I think I've always heard it like, why are you coming to me? Do you know who I am? It's not it. First of all, that wasn't Jesus. If you read God's word and that's how you hear Jesus, don't do that anymore, okay? Join me in this. He was a loving person. Funny. People, it was like the life of the party. They said little kids wanted to be around him. I don't know about you, but my kids don't want to be around somebody who's always yelling at them and talking in a very mean voice, right? So Jesus probably very lovingly said, why are you coming to me? Mary, what's your reason for coming to me with this problem? In this situation where you're worried about what your identity is, about what who you are, why are you coming to me? And then he says, my time has not yet come. And what he means there is, Mom, while you are so influential in my life, while you can't replace anyone else in my life, you don't lead me. God leads me, and I can't do this until he tells me to. And I know as a mom, I pray that more than anything, that I can direct my children, but eventually I can't be there all the time. I can't fix it all the time. I want God to lead them. So Mary, as a mom, had to step back. She had to say, gosh, you know, actually a lot of what I've studied says that the way that Jesus kind of just laid it out there, it was like an invitation for her. It was like the chance for her to say, you know what? You're right. God leads you. He's first. He tells you. I want it to be the same for me. And so in that moment, she does. She turns to the servants and she says, do whatever he says. And she's not ignoring Jesus. She's simply saying, he's right. He's the person I'm going to follow. He's the person I'm going to model my role as a mom after. And they say in that moment, it was the time when Jesus became her savior. He became the person that she lived her life for instead of as her son. Such a powerful, powerful moment for her as a mom. Just like whenever Jesus told me, I'm his before I'm theirs. I kind of wonder if she felt that same weight that day, right? That weight of lifted, that it wasn't there anymore. And see, for me, whenever God told me I'm his before I'm theirs, do you know what he did? He flooded my mind with what he thought of me. Not how I performed, not what I did. He said to me that day, you are loved. You are worth everything to me. You are redeemed. You are capable. You are created for this. It's not a mistake. And you're doing a good job. You just need to come to me to remember that. Not look around you for that to happen. And so, as I started living this out in my life, especially once I read that about Mary, it really just, I don't know, it gave me some confidence that I wasn't the only mom that had experienced this. It gave me a lot of fuel to still be intentional with my influence, still to do what I was doing every day because it was worth it. It was great. But now I kind of want to tell you a little bit about what's different as a mom. Since I started really, really taking God up on his promises about me, what he says about me, remembering that it's not because of what I do every day that he thinks about me that way. It's because he says so, and he knows me better than anybody else. I now don't wake up every day thinking about how much my children are going to need me, and it's going to be so hard, and oh my, the laundry is still there. I don't wake up with those thoughts. When I wake up, I immediately start reciting verses about what God thinks about me. Oh my gosh, I'm loved. I was gifted to do this. Those children aren't mine. By accident, I'm supposed to be their mom. I'll remember that I'm capable. But even if there's some mix-ups during the day, that's okay. He's got me. I can do this. So I enjoy my children more. I'm so happy to say that. I do. I enjoy my children more. The little things don't bother me as much. I'm even happy to say that I don't go read something about the problem as soon as it happens. I'll stop and I'll say, God, what do I need to do about this? You know, it's just this ever-present, and I'll always start it with, God, you love me. You love me just now, just in this moment. So you tell me what to do. I have a thirst for God's word like I never have in my life because I want him to guide me. If he loves me this much, I want to know what he wants me to do in every situation in my life, every single one. He reminds me through this that my marriage comes first. Because sometimes, as a mom, that's hard for me. I love my children so much. But I love that man a whole lot. And the best example I can give them is to love them, love him in front of him. And he's really good at that, by the way. He'll tell him, I love your mom more than I love you. But he loves them a whole lot. But he makes sure he honors me in front of my kids. And it makes it so much easier for me to respect him when he does it. And what a great model. I'm not saying, trust me, we do not have it all together. You don't want to know stories. But that is something we intentionally try to do. And you know how it's easier? When I say, God, you love me. I can love him right now. Even though I kind of just want to kick his shins and walk the other way. Not often, but you know. It's helped me in my confidence as a mom. Let's take a quick sip. Sorry, this was something that Eric and Trey both forgot to tell me, that you get really thirsty when you're talking the whole time. I'm used to conversations. It's helped me in my confidence as a mom. I'm going to share a quick story with you how, just so you can see how this plays out. I have an amazing 8-year-old son named David, and I mean truly amazing. And one of David's passions is baseball. I mean, the kid has loved baseball, honestly, since he was 18 months old. When he was 18 months old, his favorite movie was The Sandlot, and he watched it nonstop. I was pretty sure I was probably pregnant with his brother at the time, so let me tell you, he watched it nonstop. He watched it all the time, and I know there's some language in there, but he was 18 months old. He couldn't say the words, so we just let him watch it. Now we can filter it. Anyway, he loves baseball. He used to take books, and that would be his bases. He would tell me, get home plate, and he'd run the bases in the house. Let me just say, he's 8 years old. This is his fifth year of baseball. Okay, we really messed up there. I wouldn't start at three. Anyway, he loves it. He loves it. It's his passion. And he couldn't wait for this season to start. He was so excited. The first game rolled around, and he didn't get a hit. The second game rolled around, and he didn't get a hit. And his confidence just sank. And he, I'm telling you guys, he was working so hard. He and his dad spent hours in our yard correcting every little thing. He was working so hard, and he just couldn't break through. And I feel like part of it was he just had no confidence in himself. So on a particularly frustrating day, I decided I was just going to share with him what God had shown me. And so I took David to the side, and I said, "Buddy, I want you to tell me, what does God think about you?" He said, "I'm awesome." I said, "Yes, he does." He said, "I do too." I said, "Do you think God loves you?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Just like we do?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know he says you're capable?" He said, "I don't know. You know, I don't think he's ever heard that." I'm like, "He does. He says you're capable, that you are able." And I said, "Do you think in 30 years that anybody's going to care if you could hit a stick with a ball? I mean, even if you play pro at 38, he's done, right? I mean, that's right, right? Yeah, he's done. Do you think anybody's going to care that you could hit a stick with a ball? Do you know what they're going to care about? Your heart, your character, who you are." I said, "You are that now because God tells you you are. Moms, you are that now because God tells you you are." And we prayed. I prayed with him. And I said, we just asked God to calm his heart and to have fun and his passion, to have a good time. And that even if he never got a hit again, that's okay. Because God's got something great for him to do. And he's loved just like he is. And I could tell that he kind of held his head a little bit higher. He smiled. He relaxed. He enjoyed it. And I don't know if it was the next pitch that changed it around, but he definitely gets hits now. He's loving baseball. He's not dreading going to games. He runs out on the field. He counts down until the next game. And I asked him if I could share that story. And I also promised him I would let you know that he now crushes the ball. I mean, he gets doubles. He gets triples. He rarely strikes out. But more importantly, he's having a good time. He's enjoying his passion. He's enjoying what he's doing. He's not thinking that my performance is what matters here. I matter because God says so. And I love that story because it's a great reminder for us that when we're in a slump, whether it's in motherhood or just life, when you're in a slump, you need to remember who God says you are. Because we're his before we're theirs. We're his before we are anybody else's. And the number one thing he wants to do in his relationship with you is for you to know how much he loves you. And I know there's a lot of us in here who want God to lead us, but we don't let him love us. And moms, I'm going to challenge you today to do that, to run to him for your security, to run to him when you feel like you can't give anymore. And I promise you, he will fill you up. And I have to say that, you know, knowing that in a moment when I want to lose my temper and I can say, "God, you love me and I believe it," I can love them no matter what they do. Whenever I'm tired and I've said, "God, you've sacrificed for me. You've sacrificed everything for me," I can sacrifice for them and be patient about it with no strings attached. And that makes motherhood fun. That makes it something I want to wake up and do every single day. Sorry. It was such a truth to me whenever I realized that I had to start making this something that was my priority in my own life, that my me time wasn't necessarily me running away from being moms while you have to have, being a mom while you have to do that. But my me time needed to be filled with who God said I was. And I really started praying about the people who were going to hear this today, the women in our church. And I started feeling like, God, I just want to take them all to coffee every day. Can we all just meet at Cafe Diem on 62nd and have coffee every day? Plus, first is really good coffee, but also I wanted to be able to encourage you. I want to remind you that you are who God says you are. Because I know when I have people in my life that remind me of that, it's a lot easier for me to believe it. And so I prayed about it, and with some help from encouraging friends. One of the ways I want to do this with you, something I'm really excited about that I'm launching today, I'm actually going to be starting a blog, a website. It's called DanielleKelly.tv. And it's just going to be a place for the women in our church where we can go. And it's virtual right now, but it's leading to a lot of fun things I hope that are going to happen this fall. It's going to be a place for us to go when you need encouragement. There's going to be a prayer request wall, site, whatever, there. I'm really computer, not good. So there'll be a prayer request form you can fill out. I would love, love, love to know how to pray for you. Single women, I am so excited. I've actually reached out to a friend of mine in Texas, and she does a lot of virtual things, a lot of websites and seminars, and she does webinars and things like that. I'm going to be able to link you to Sarah. And she's going to be able to start just teaching you a lot of what God's doing in this season in her life. I can't wait for that to be a resource for you. So I'm so excited about it. A lot of the site will probably be me sharing how we apply what Trace talks about on Sunday in our life, in our marriage, in our house, in our kids. So I can't wait to start that. I can't wait to be able to connect with you more. And I hope it's an encouraging place for you to visit. So as you leave today, you are going to get a little bag with some tea in it. It's actually my favorite tea. It smells amazing. Just don't brew it too long or it'll get bitter, like 2 minutes tops. So moms, women, at some point today, after you get home, take one of those home with you. When you get home today, I want you to brew yourself a cup of tea. I want you to sit down. I want you to put your feet up. I want you to go visit the site, because the very first page I have is a list of nothing but what God thinks about you, with all the scripture references that you need. I want you to read those. I want you to read them every day. And I want that to be your fuel, because if we're the fountain for our kids and they get the overflow, what's your source? Who do you get your fuel from? I want it to be that list, because it will never leave you. It is everlasting. He's thought that about you since before you were born. So we're going to close now. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're actually going to sing one of my favorite worship songs from this past year. I literally heard it last summer, and it's on my list that I listen to every single day. And I pray that as you sing the words, that you will remember the truth that God gave me, that I was able to share with you, that you're His before you're theirs, you're His before you're anybody else's. And I hope it encourages you today. So let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much just for the people in this room, for the women in this room, God, for the moms in this room. I thank you that you love us, that you see our desire to want to do the best we can for the people we love the most in our life, God. And as we give and we give and we give and we give, I pray that we will run to you to be filled up, that you can replenish us with the thoughts you have of us, how you feel about us, that you love us, God, that we are worth everything to you. I thank you for that truth. I thank you for how it's changed my life. And I pray that it will change the lives of so many in here today when they're in a slump and they don't know what to do. God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your Son. Go with us this week and help us to enjoy this calling we have as moms. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.